You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? I'm Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way, because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
Hey.
This is the movie show.
On Active FM.
With your hosts.
Sesh.
And Ryan.
On Active FM, yes.
Yeah, as and today we have got a very good movie to
a
review.
Murder.
Funny enough, this film came out in 2017. I watched it in 2017. Brilliant, brilliant film. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And then thought we did a movie show on it, and only recently discovered that we hadn't done a movie show on it. And Ryan, you hadn't even watched it, right?
I have watched it.
Well, before now.
Yes, no.
So this no. Ryan watched it specifically for this movie show.
I actually found it because of the one episode we did with, what was that film? The
Cold Pursuit.
Cold Pursuit.
Yes.
There was, what's his name? That guy.
There was an actor in Cold Pursuit.
That guy that was also in
Tom
this film.
Tom Bateman.
Yes.
That's his name.
So he was in here as well. And I was just like, Sasha, we have to watch it. And then you were like, we've done it. And I was like, no, we haven't. And then she was like, are you sure we haven't? And I was like, yeah, this is one of those moments, Sasha, where you think that we did and we didn't. And then
I clearly
were like,
I need
okay.
to write down the movies that we do because I really thought we'd done this film. I was still shocked. I was like, how could we as the movie show not have done this film?
That's what I thought too.
Right, but now we are doing it, so we are redeeming ourselves. So it's Murder on the Orient Express. It is a 2017 film. It is based on the Agatha Christie book, Murder on the Orient Express, and it is brilliant. That is the first thing I'd like to say. If you have not watched this film, please go and watch this film. It is brilliant.
It is really, really well.
So it's one of those where you are like with the detective trying to solve the murder, you're like thinking, and really at the end of it, you're just like, okay, I did not see that coming. I really did not see that coming at all.
Christ music is hot music.
Radio has never been better.
I was thinking the worst. For me, I was like, as we were going along, I was like, this is probably going to be something very, very unexpected. I'm like, it's him, isn't it? It's the detective.
Oh, it's is that him. What you thought?
I'm like, I'm sure it makes so much sense. It's so clear. I mean, he met the murderer and he just said, you know, murder, murder, whatever. And then, and it makes, yeah, well, you got all these people, plus he's conducting the investigation. Like, it would doing really well. If an investigator wanted to be a murderer, they would get away with it quite well. I think I've just given off, yeah, some investigators.
But there are books like that. I think there was an Agatha Christie book as well, where the murderer turned out to be the narrator. So you read the whole book.
What?
And then you get to the end of the book and you're like, oh, the person who's been telling this me the story is the killer. So, but Agatha Christie is she's a world-renowned writer specifically for crime, detective, those type of novels. And she wrote a lot of books. She wrote Murder on the Orient Express. She wrote Death on the Nile. She wrote the ABC Murders. She wrote a whole lot and they really all are like crime detective murders, mystery books.
I must say, in terms of the story, so the story was really, really good. Glued in all the way. Then at the end, I was just like, ah, yes, of course. But for me, the way that this movie was filmed, the language, like the cinematography was, I was just like, wow, look at that. Oh, what a shot. Like, in the beginning, in the train station, there's one of those, like, there's quite a few of those, like, sort of long single cam type of shots for quite a while. And I was just like, it's holding. And it, there was even the one shot where it's like from the top in the passage of the they call it, I think, like the sleeping cart.
Yes.
It's a cart, right?
Yes, there are carts.
And it's the top. It's the top of it. And it's moving like back and forth. And I was just like, how cool is this shot?
The camera work was amazing.
It was so brilliant. And when I was looking at an interview with the actual director, Kenneth
Branagh.
Yeah, he's an Irishman. You've all seen him if you've seen this movie. I won't tell you why. Well, you'll find out eventually. But when I was listening to the way that he was talking, he spoke very visually on the way he wanted things to come across. And I was just like, there you go.
No, it did.
There's the reason behind all the really great, like the blocking, like, everything. I was just like, I think I loved the way it was shot.
I was interested
In the actual story itself. I mean, I was like interested in who the killer was. But I was more like, I'm enjoying this film. So, you know what? Let me be honest with you. I was going to try and multitask this movie, Sashi. I was attempting to try and do some work and have the shot, you know, the film open on the side, and I couldn't.
You had to watch it.
I couldn't. I was just like, no, this is not going to work. Full screen, I was just like, okay, let's just watch it. It's 1 hour and 50-something minutes, I think. And it was just, it was beautiful.
No, it's
beautifully well shot.
One thing they also did, which they mentioned a couple of times, there was so much thought in the cinematography. Like,
yes.
It wasn't just let's get a close up of the person because, you know, we need to see their reaction. It wasn't anything like that. There was a part, so obviously there's a murder that happens on this train and everyone on the train is a suspect naturally because you don't know who the murderer is. So this detective, he goes and now interviews every single person that was on the train to try and find out who the killer is. But in their interviews, what the camera does is it works with the, so they were like glass panels and mirrors in the train. And what they actually did with their shots was sometimes they'd get a shot where you would see more than just one face of the person. You get what?
Right.
So you'd see multiple faces, almost giving the impression that this person is two-faced. And when they would do that often is when the character was lying. So if the character was lying, they'd often, in the way they got the shot, they would get it so that it was almost like two-faced. You know, like the English saying when you say someone's two-faced.
There's another side to
them. There's another side to them. They did that with the camera shots, which for me was brilliant. Like that is, especially for like this type of film, it's so, so clever to do. It just adds to the story, the telling of the story. Which was pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, this whole film. Listen to me. But anyway, it works out what I'm saying, because yes, it makes sense to say this whole film. But this whole movie was shot on film, and apparently, what made it
for real? I didn't know that.
It was shot. If you look on the back, the behind the scenes, shots.
Footage.
That footage.
B-roll.
That's the one. B-roll. Yes. You can actually hear the cameras. You hear this,
cameras
coming past you.
Flip.
Like that type of thing. So
that's so cool.
It was shot on 60mm, which apparently the cameras are a lot bigger and a lot heavier than any other film camera. And on top of that, there are only like 4 or 5 of these cameras now that you can get them today. And he shot with all of them.
Oh, my goodness.
That was them.
Are you serious?
Those are the cameras. And apparently... this director is a big Sashi, what is your favorite director?
Christopher Nolan.
He's a big fan. He's been on some of his scenes, and I think some of the stuff that they've shot as well. And I think that's where he sort of was able to try and organize a lot of this gear and stuff like that. And now the challenge with these cameras that they had was that moving in the train was a big, because these cameras are apparently quite big, quite heavy. They had to rig up like modified rigs to try and move the cameras around, because, you know, especially having a lot of those one shotters, you know, where it's on for one shot for a long time, you've got to have a very specific rig to actually care, because, you know, it wasn't like it was still cameras. The camera would literally move, like especially... I don't know if I saw it that much. I think it was more in when when they were boarding the train, they sort of went, you know, from character to character, and there you see how they moved around a lot in the shot. But then there would be parts where they would have to move between the carts. And what he was saying is that, you know, because obviously now he's acting in this. So then I'm sort of giving it away now. He's acting in the film and directing at the same time. So
Wait, can we please just make, because I feel like that we're not giving that enough credit. So in other words, the man that played how did he pronounce his name?
The main character.
It wasn't Hercules. He said Hercule. I think it was Hercule, the actual guy that was the detective, in other words.
Yes.
He directed the film. That is Kenneth Branagh, if that's how you pronounce his surname. But I'm sorry, we just need to give this dude credit.
Brilliant.
Because his acting was on another level. And then when I found out he was the director, I was like, this guy's gangster.
Accent.
It was brilliant.
And I pronounced the words and even his attitude. And like, there was like his acting was thick. It was so thick.
No, it was just proper.
Like, you were like, wow, you know. And this was like the main character. Plus he was directing. I'm sure that put put more gray hairs on his head after this.
Definitely.
This whole film. But yeah, so he apparently would at first he would have to, brief the production, the camera crew, and he'll say, okay, guys, this is what we're doing. This is what I want. You're going to tell me the how after. And then he would get involved with whatever the acting and stuff like that and his directing part. And then afterwards, they would come to him and like, okay, look, this part is thin. Can we try? And sometimes they would have to like, as the camera's approaching the door, then as it goes out of view, they would like sort of apparently like unclip the door or something like that. Then as they go, now the camera would have to come around again, so they'd have to quickly clip it back again, and they would have like all sorts of, you know, move the roof and put it back and all that type of stuff. So it was quite a challenge on production side already. But I mean, there was a lot of movement and a lot of different camera shots. You know, the biggest thing for me is that when I watched this, I was just like, I would have never thought about that. Oh, that I would have never thought about. So it was that for me, if I were to watch this film again, it would be to get the other part, because I was like so focused on the shots and the actual photography of the actual movie.
No, it was brilliant. And do you know, there was, they said with the train, what they actually did was they built these LED screens and then they put the background, so the landscape that the train was passing, so that it would give that effect of, you know. But so the train wasn't moving, in
the
other words.
The lighting, right?
No, so that actually they created these LED screens, and then on the screens they projected the landscape.
So the image.
Yes.
Onto the.
But it obviously was the image was moving. Yes, so the train was still, but the image was moving. But do you know, it gave one of the actors motion sickness. Like that whole, it actually messed with their brain and gave them motion sickness. So it's, your brain is a very, very powerful thing. But I thought that was quite funny.
Because I was actually looking at that one part. There's one specific part, the early morning. I mean, even the feel, like when they woke up, it felt like that. It had that whole morning feel.
Yes.
And like the way they're having breakfast and everyone's jolly, something new. It felt, I was just like, man. I felt like I was there. And then it was not long after that the film gave this like stirring. You could feel something starting to stir.
Yeah.
Like getting shots of the engine, getting shots of the fire.
Yes.
I was just like, ooh.
Like, something's coming.
But I was looking so carefully. I was just like, wait, is that green screened in? Isn't it? Is it green? Because it looked weird. But then I saw the distortion against the glass, because the glass had certain sort of like, I don't know what you want to call
it. Like frost, in a way, or ice.
Like dents.
Oh, okay. Now
it was the frost, and I was just like, I'm sure the frost is there just to cover up the greening.
Right.
But then, you know, sometimes how a glass will have an indentment or outdentment.
Yes, yes, yes.
And because of that specific place, the image would distort, you know. And I was looking at that, I'm like, sure, there's a lot of work done in CG. But okay, cool, that's interesting. I didn't know that. That's how they did it.
Right.
Wow.
Which was pretty cool. Another interesting fact. So Murder on the Orient Express is based on the novel by Agatha Christie. Do you know that book, the book Murder on the Orient Express, was published on New Year's Day in 1934?
Wow.
So the book was published in 1934. This is set back the early 1900s. But I thought that was pretty cool that she actually got it published on New Year's Day.
Wow.
Which is, yeah. And the novel, so this film is based on a novel. The novel was inspired by the kidnapping and murder of Charles Lindbergh's son, as well as by Christie's own journey on the Orient Express. So the author herself had been on the Orient Express, and there was a murder of Charles Lindbergh's son. I personally don't know who that is, but she actually got inspiration for the story from that, and then from her own experience traveling on the Orient Express.
Right.
So that is where she got it. It features Christie's most famous detective, the Hercule, I don't know how to pronounce his name. He's Belgian, so he's got like a very interesting name, but if you watch the movie, you'll hear him pronounce it lovely. The character has been portrayed by 26 actors. So this actual character has been portrayed by 26 actors across stage, TV, film, and radio.
Yeah.
Even radio. And in the 2017 movie, he's played by Kenneth Branagh, who also directed the film. The director is not only the star, but also the director. He loves adapting great literary work for the screen. Previously, he has directed adaptions of Frankenstein, Hamlet, and Much Ado About Nothing. Those are the other films he has directed.
Okay.
But his face is familiar. When I saw his face, I was like, I know this guy. So he was in Thor. I don't know if you know that. He was in the 2011 version of Thor. He was in Tenant. Ha-ha, you see.
That's when he worked for
He was in there Tenant. He was in Cinderella. Ah, the Disney made a version. And do you know there was another actor that was also in Cinderella that was in the murder, that was in this film, Murder on the Orient Express? The butler, so Johnny Depp's character, Ratchet, his butler. He was played by Derek... I want to pronounce his surname, but I feel like I'm going to pronounce it the South African way. In South Africa, it's Yakubi. That's his surname, but I don't think he's South African. But he was also in Cinderella, which I think is actually pretty cool. And the director, Kenneth, directed that film. That film was good, right? I know it's Cinderella and it's a Disney story and all of that, but that adaptation of Cinderella was very good, Ryan.
Yeah.
I know where I know Kenneth's face from. Dunkirk. He was one of the generals. That's where I know his face from. And Dunkirk was also a Christopher Nolan film. So he really is a Christopher Nolan fan.
He clearly works with him.
And he works with him and he acts in his movies.
What tells me also that, because obviously Christopher Nolan isn't, I wouldn't say he doesn't like green screening and CG. He'll try and do it more in camera type of trick, which is exactly what they did with the train. That's in camera, effects.
Yeah. It's not after CG. The moustache was fake, people. Just in case you were wondering, how was that moustache though? It had like layers to it.
I was looking at the growth, the way it was grown. I'm like, is it so long that he's been able to like sort of comb it and brush it
that is
his
it
face, or is it that it growed in that area and then just a little bit off? Obviously
no, I think sure. It was styled. But how funny was the scene where you see him in bed and he's got like a you call that, a moustache keeper, he literally had like this contraption on his face,
like
that was protecting his
like
moustache while he sleeps.
Like yes. A moustache cap.
Or sleeping. Yeah, no, that was quite funny. I was like, I don't remember that the first time. Because I watched this film in 2017 and then obviously rewatched it now for the film, for the movie show. But I didn't remember that. I was like, oh, okay, interesting. Now, this isn't the first film, a feature film, where the novel was adapted for a film. There was another version done in 1974. And that one actually has Sean Connery in it. So there was another film made in 1974, and Sean Connery was in that film. I would be interested to actually go watch that personally, just to see. I wouldn't compare the two, because I think it's stupid to compare the two, because the one was made in 2017 and the other one was made in 1974. But I would actually just be interested to go see the two different versions of the film, how they did it.
Well, you know what? I tell you what, if I'm ever bored in the holidays, then that is what I'll be doing.
Watching the 1974 version of Murder on the Orient Express. So the 2017 film is the novel's fifth adaptation. This is crazy. This novel, do you see how big these novels are? What book has five different adaptions of it? Do you get what I'm saying?
Well, does that tell us something about how well the other ones had done?
No, I think it's how loved the books are. Because these books, These are well-known, loved books. They are, especially for people who enjoy murder mysteries, mysteries, detectives, anything. So this, The Murder on the Orient Express, the 2017 film was the fifth adaption. It was previously adapted into a TV movie, a TV episode, a Japanese TV adaption.
What?
And then the above-mentioned feature, which was the 1974 version.
This is a fiction, right? It's not real life.
Yeah, no, it's fiction. She obviously based it on a real-life story. I don't know if it's exact.
You said the situation there. Okay, cool.
So, yeah. The screenplay was written by Michael Green, who helped also write Logan, which was the film with Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
And Blade Runner 2049. So they obviously would just take the novel and then adapt it again. And do you know that Charlize Theron, I'll pronounce her to America, was considered for the role of Caroline Hubbard, who actually got the role was Michelle Pfeiffer.
Okay.
So that role was originally going to go to Charlize. She could have pulled it off. I think Michelle Pfeiffer was good, though, because of her age. Like, do you get what I'm saying? I think the age, I know they could age a Charlize, but I just think...
Again, it's...
Yes.
Yeah, practical.
No, I think they went for the right. I think Michelle Pfeiffer...
Just finding the
also,
right
Also, it was nice to see her again because... Like,
yeah,
she
while,
hadn't
eh?
Been in films. I think this was after Murder on the Orient Express was Ant-Man and the Wasp. That was the next film we saw her in. Then, just in case you are wondering, we did mention this. I think we've mentioned it. If we have not mentioned it, we are mentioning it now. But there will be a sequel, and the sequel is coming in 2021. And it is called Death on the Nile. If you watch the end of the film, the detective...
It leads into the next one.
He's approached and told that there's been a death on the Nile, and please, will he come with them? And he does. So Death on the Nile is coming out in 2021. The trailer is out. So if you want to go and watch that trailer, you can go watch that trailer because it is out, and it looks good. There's also a lot of well-known actors because the actors in this film was crazy. Like... The amount of well-known actors that they pulled together for this film was on another level. I mean, you had Johnny Depp. You had, obviously, Kenneth himself, who is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. And then there was that guy from, the Green Goblin.
Yes, he was in it. I'll actually get the actors' names quick. Then you had the guy that we spoke about that was in Cold Pursuit. He was in it. And you also had Michelle Pfeiffer. You had Daisy Ridley. If you recognize her, she's from Star Wars, just in case you're wondering. You had Judy Dench in it. I mean, Penelope Cruz, the guy that was in... What did you say?
William Day...
Yes.
Defoe.
You even had Joss Gad. He's a well-known comedian. You had Leslie Odom Jr. Now, if
we
you
know
don't
him,
know who
yes.
he is, he was in Hamilton. He played... Aaron Burr in Hamilton. We mentioned Derek. He was in Cinderella as well. You had Olivia Colman. You had Tom Bateman, who was in Cold Pursuit. So the amount of well-known actors in this thing was crazy. Like, literally, the cast was... It was a very, very, very strong cast. And the second one, which is Death on the Nile, also has a very strong cast. Obviously, Kenneth will reprise his role as the detective. And then we've got Gal Gadot, who is Wonder Woman, if you don't know who that is. She's in Death on the Nile. We've got Armie Hammer. We've got Letitia Wright. She plays Black Panther's sister. She is in Death on the Nile. We also... So Tom Bateman will reprise his role as Book, so he'll be in. We have Russell Brand. Russell Brand, I haven't seen in a while. He's also a comedian. he's normally plays these crazy roles, but I actually haven't seen him around for like ages. So it's going to be interesting to see him again. And then there are other actors involved. But once again, very strong cast. Like the cast, it's like he gets a strong cast to be involved with the murders. Yes.
Sure.
Which is pretty cool.
Now I'm looking at all these actors.
Right.
Because in this movie itself, when they first started off, I was like, ah. It's like the way that they were introduced, yes. Each and every one of them. As they're walking, you're like, oh, mm-hmm. ah. It's like you feel like clapping for them. Next one comes on.
Yeah.
Introducing. And. Well done. Yay.
But one thing I would just like to mention, if you have not watched this film, you need to watch it and you need to be very involved, because otherwise things are going to go over your head. First of all, there are a lot of characters. Now, whenever a film has a lot of characters, it can get messy at times. They didn't do that. I think they handled every character well, because as the audience, you can only almost like latch on or connect with maximum seven to eight characters. The rest of them are all just supporting characters who are just in the background type of thing. But as an audience, I mean, if you throw 100 characters at an audience, they'll be completely lost and not know, you know, who to follow, etc., etc. Now, this film, it involves a lot of people. And especially in the beginning, they start showing you all the different characters. And eventually, you're just like, I'm so confused. Why are you showing me this person? But just take note of them. Take a mental note of them, because they do reappear. And by the end of the film, it's actually amazing how everyone matched up. Like the storyline, and that we have to give to Agatha Christie, because the storyline obviously is from her. But she was a phenomenal writer. The way she literally brought, like, all the characters were connected. It was crazy the way she did that. At the end, you're like, oh, flip. Like,
yeah, I got to a point, I'm like, wait a minute, what is going on here?
You were, at one point, you were just like, yeah, he doesn't even know who did it. So now, how do we know who did it if, like, the greatest detective in the world doesn't know who did it? And then when they did that last scene where he literally just pulled it, you were like,
into all of
wow.
them, yeah.
I was even shocked the second time watching it. I think I forgot most of it, because this film is so complex. I was like, what happened? I remembered, spoiler alert, that they were all involved in the crime.
Yeah.
But I didn't remember, like, the exact, no, this person was involved to that. And the way it, like, linked, like, it was brilliant. This
for me, it had
brilliant.
To. That was my only for sure, definite. Because I was like, wait, they're all involved in the reason.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, they can only, like, what a coincidence. So for me, I was like, anyway. But anyway, okay, cool. Maybe it's that person. Okay, maybe it's that person.
Yeah.
So, and then obviously we're saying, so much clues. Doesn't make sense. Meanwhile, so much clues.
Everything
makes sense.
Yes.
Right. In fact, at one point, I was even thinking to myself, it's him. Yeah, it's the detective. And then that last scene that you're talking about, I'm like, it's his friend.
I liked Book.
Because he was saying, he was like, none of your murders. I'm like, and he's got a gun, because he was behind with the gun. And I was just like, oh my word, it's him. No, why? And then it wasn't him. And I was like, why? Why not?
Yeah. I just liked how dramatic he was. So the detective, how's his name? Hercule.
Yeah.
I think. He was so dramatic, even in the last scene. He was just, you know, the
and
way he
straighten
spoke.
Straighten your tie, please.
Yes, and the way he always made people straighten their tie. And, you know, it was a very intense film. It really questions your point of justice at the end. You were just like, sure, what does he do? What would I do in that situation? Like, It was quite intense, but it was a very, very good film. I thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. Yes, I'm more excited now for Death on the Nile, because I rewatched this film. So if you have watched this film and you enjoyed it and you're waiting for Death on the Nile, go watch Murder on the Orient Express one more time, because you will thoroughly enjoy it and probably get yourself more excited for the next film coming up. But I'm shocked at Kenneth. That guy is brilliant. He's such a good director. I have a new respect for him. You know what? He might add on to my favorite directors list. I think I'm going to go and watch all of his films. And then you'll be hearing more reviews from this guy, because now we're going to go and do a background search, figure out what other films he's been in. And then, yeah.
So something else that was quite interesting that the director was talking about was that because they were new characters that had never met themselves before, he apparently didn't get them to rehearse.
Oh, that's clever.
So he just sort of, and apparently it really came through very well.
Yes.
The way that they were quite nervous around each other. And even spoke about the one specific actor, I don't know which one it was, but now obviously because you've got a lot more mature actors there and you've got some fresh ones together. And one of the fresher ones, after that, okay, cut, they just started crying. I'm like, I just met so-and-so for the first time. Like they acted with one of their most favorite actors.
Oh, my word.
Type of thing. Yeah. The director, Kenneth, he's actually quite a... He's one of those directors that really put a lot of thought into stuff. So
yeah, you can see is
a lot of the time he wouldn't. Now, obviously, because they're shooting on film, you need to understand you've got about, I don't know if they, I'm sure it's still the same, but you've got about 9 minutes per roll.
Yeah.
So when you shoot, you've got to make sure that you're going. You know, yeah. You can't waste film and stuff like that. But a lot of the time, like he would tell his actors, he would say, guys, if you forget your line, just keep going.
Yeah.
And because they a lot of the time they're in character, and a lot of the time some of the reactions when they had forgotten their lines they had used.
Oh wow,
because
that's
it came
so
at the right time.
See, to actors
like
out
that.
There, directors love it when you just go for it. They really do. I am a director, and I can tell you from personal experience, it is the most irritating thing on set when an actor stops improvising.
Improvise, yeah.
Yes. So, and one thing I also last comment from my side. One thing I really enjoyed was. None of the actors acted like we've seen before. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, I really felt like you were meeting new characters, even though the face was maybe familiar. Like, even Johnny Depp with his accent.
His accent was
very good. I really enjoyed the guy that played Book. I keep forgetting his name. I know his surname's Bateman, but I can't remember his name. I really enjoyed his acting because I remember in The Cold Pursuit, I hated him. I disliked him so much. I was like, this guy, when I heard he was in Orient Express, I was like, wait, who was he in Orient the Murder on the Orient Express? Because Tom Bateman, that's his name. It's like, because I don't like him and I don't remember him. But his character in this film and in Cold Pursuit was so different. Like,
Yeah. His
acting, in this film, you actually love him. Like, he's one of the characters that are close to your heart. You really, really do like him. So the acting all around from Penelope Cruz, from everyone, even Judi Dench, her accent was brilliant because she's normally that old British, you know, she's normally in that role. Whereas this time she was more European with her accent. So that was, I thoroughly enjoyed the acting. The acting was very, very good. You are
reactive. Being reactive is being a people of reaction, people of change, being a movement of young people. It's not just a band, it's not just good music or inspiring words, it's not just catchy, it's life-changing.
You can check us out on Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
This movie is brilliant. Go and watch it if you have not watched it. But we are now signing out because it is time for us to close. Like every good murder mystery, we have come to the solution. And the solution is social media. We are on social media. Please go check us out. We are on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Parler, Gab, and Reddit. You can search for Active FM. Plus, we have a WhatsApp line. You can find our WhatsApp number on our Instagram bio. And don't forget, we have an amazing website where you can get all the shows, and that is www.activefm.co.za.
And of course, if you're a Spotify subscriber, not like me, I'm not a Spotify subscriber, but if you are, we are also on Spotify. go search for Active FM. You get all the other all the channels that are there, all the other shows, the podcasts that are happening there. So it's not just us. I know you'd want it to only be us, but it's not. That's not the way the world works. And then also go check Google Podcasts for all the Android users. You need to go download that app manually. Then also, if you're an Apple user, podcast app, Apple already put it there. Do you know why they put it there? They put it there so you can subscribe to our channel. Yes, go look for Active FM. And the same thing there. Then, of course, YouTube. We've got two channels that you can search because we are too much. Go look for Active FM, the channel. And then also go look for Active TV. Now, that one is my favorite. You know why it's my favorite? Because on there, if you go look under the playlist, go look there. Yes. All right. So I guess with that, nothing left to do but to close.
This is us from the movie show signing out. Peace out.
And Godspeed.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.